Hi, Patriot Pals. Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. Another week, another full-on confusion of what's going on in the world. A lot of people are scared about prices going up and gas going up and shipments stuck at our ports, not moving. And we're at a place where, as I've talked about for 2 years, it's looking like our grid and our entire infrastructure system is in danger. And I wanted to have my trusty pal, Andrew, back to discuss some of the things we've talked about before, but also really dealing with what is coming with inflation and the markets and how we can protect ourselves and what we can do going forward. I am here. Also, Rob Brealey's here, and we are back from our long trip cross country, which, of course, opened my eyes to how much our country is has been pillaged in terms of farmland and manufacturing and all of this stuff that we really have to take it upon ourselves, we the people, to reinvest in and reinvest in our economy and our lives and our infrastructure. And I found Andrew to be a really good person to discuss what's going on in the market. So thank you for coming back again, Andrew. I'm really excited to have you here.
I just feel
like every week I'm like, we got to talk to Andrew about what's going on. So how do you see right now what is happening? And there's a lot of talk of inflation, tapering in the markets. You're out there where there's all these shipping cargo containers backed up for miles. What are you seeing on the horizon?
Well, the biggest concern is inflation. It's similar to if we were told that our dollar is worth 95 cents just overnight, because right now our inflation rate for the last month is 5.3%. That's for the month, compared to 1.3% for the same month last year. So our dollar is buying less. That's a fact. Yeah. And I don't think people out there would argue with that. Everyone knows that everything costs more after COVID than it did before. So we need to do something to be able to counteract that. Right. And people are doing that, hedging with precious metals. Hearing a lot of concern too about the items that are stuck in shipping containers at ports.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit before the show about fallout from COVID and how the fallout from much of the workforce not working is probably yet to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And what we've also seen is that the billionaire class has gotten much wealthier during this period of time as the middle class has dwindled, small business has gone away. And it appears that there's a ton of jobs, but the jobs numbers are terrible. In New York, they can't get anyone to work basically in hospitality or retail. Are you seeing that where you are, that there's a lot of jobs and not a lot of takers?
Oh yeah, out in California, it seems like there's a lot of those jobs. And before, we figured it was because they were receiving money from the government,
right.
And there was a lot of money for a while there. And I guess maybe they just got used to not working. But they're not. There's a lot of people not working.
Yeah,
it's extraordinary. We've been traveling for almost 6 weeks, and almost every night we're at a different place or every few days. And hospitality has been eviscerated. It's extraordinary. And a lot of places you go, there's no support, no staff. You know, everyone is new.
Yeah.
So they don't know any systems. And this is from the McDonald's type of place, which we try to avoid. But, you know, once in a while you need a coffee to, a five-star place,
yeah.
Which they know nothing. It's extraordinary.
Yeah. Also, amenities they don't exist anymore. I mean, we've been driving everywhere because flight travel is completely insane. But now we're watching these strikes with the pilots and other people. They're saying it's weather, but it's not. It's this mandate. And I think people are scared. But it is amazing to me that there's so many help wanted signs all over America in every level of business, and not a lot of takers. And I'm not really sure how that's happening, but I think we should be preparing ourselves. Those of us who still have some savings to figure out what's going on and what's going to happen next. I know personally that I feel a lot better now that I understand how to protect myself going into whatever's coming ahead. I think I told you, I told my audience, I was finally, I'm surprised it lasted this long, but PayPal kicked me off because of I was violating community standards by talking about some of the lawsuits and things happening via the mandates and other religious exemptions and things like that. Next thing you know, I'm off PayPal, and I had reoccurring payments. They don't care. They canceled them all. And that was one way that we stayed afloat and that I'm able to do my show and go to all these events. And it was just, they gave me no recourse. I appealed, but it doesn't matter. And I'm late in the game. Many other people have been canceled by PayPal, but I have a feeling it's going to be a lot of these different companies. So I don't feel very safe in the market and in normal banks. So what is advice for that? Because I feel like these larger banks, especially the corporate banks, that they are pulling plugs on people for ridiculous reasons that have nothing to do with money, that have to do with freedom of speech, honestly, and wanting to get the truth out or a different opinion. How are you feeling about other banking institutions and how people can protect themselves in that sense?
I say get your hard-earned dollars out of the centralized banking system because they've become too powerful.
Right.
It was only like 12, 13 years ago that they were all crying to the government saying, please help us, we're going to go under, we're next, we're going to be the next Bear Stearns. And now they're just so powerful. And we're seeing just a lot of things. We talked before on a previous show about how the small business line of credit had been shut down by Wells Fargo. They're talking about raising interest rates again.
Right.
It seems like the banks don't really have much interest in actually lending money right now. And if that's the case, then you have to wonder what signals they're seeing that would make them feel that that's not a good idea right now. Right. And if they're seeing those, then probably we should be ready too.
Right. Yeah. And this infrastructure bill that isn't infrastructure, it's really the Green New Deal on steroids. We talked about it last time, but I saw it reiterated because there was a lot of fact checkers saying it wasn't true. But it is, in fact, in the bill that the they're hiring an army, basically, of IRS folks to monitor all of our bank accounts from $600 up. And that's not rich people money. Rich people money is millions of dollars changing. This is the middle class, an attack on the middle class again by the IRS. And obviously, it's going to be targeted. Now, that's when I look at gold and silver and other things and say, it just makes sense whether it's going to go up or down, to know that it's there, I think is the most important safety one can have right now.
Exactly. It's portfolio insurance. It's you're hoping that you're not going to need it and you're probably not going to, but it's there just in case you do. The mindset is if you have like car insurance, you're not like, great, I have insurance, new policy, let's go crash my car. You're not thinking that.
Right.
You're thinking if the worst happens,
right,
you're covered. And for any type of insurance, and I'd rather be caught with it than without it, for sure.
Right. So, right.
Well, you know, I was in the financial world for quite some time, and one of the things that is fundamental is diversifying your risk, right? So precious metals as a tangible asset that's portable, some of it is non-reportable, getting out of the central banking system, and whether it's the wealth tax or other means of transacting. You know, one of the things, if things get really, really bad, you know, you may need barter assets.
Right.
In certain circumstances.
Right. Yeah. Can you explain that? Because you found people along the way who do barter with it. And I'm starting to think that it's a lot. It's a really smart bet to have the gold and silver in your hand to barter if it comes to that, because it is able to be used that way. Correct.
Yes, actually, one of your listeners was actually talking with me on the phone and doing a transaction with me on the phone while they had a contractor that's a family friend of theirs working in the home. And they were eavesdropping a little bit. And when our call ended, they started talking about this. And she, for fun, ended up paying for that service with silver that she already had.
Wow.
And it can be done. And I'm a big promoter of that. I think that people should do that. It's I would accept gold and silver for different services for sure.
Right.
And the one hang up that people really have about that though, is if they have 90% silver, which are the pre-1965 dimes and quarters and half dollars that Rob spoke of,
right,
they're a non-reportable asset. People want to know, well, how will I know what they're worth? And I just said, I always say, if we're in an emergency situation, it will become very clear.
Right
now, we're more in a prepare for an emergency situation, and we don't really have to know that right now. But when that time comes, we will know what each dime is going to be worth, what each quarter is going to be worth, and then we could barter accordingly.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm just very scared of this total surveillance of our financial transactions, because the next move, if you follow along how the dots connect and what we've seen in China, is to connect our bank accounts to some kind of social credit score or their whole climate change agenda. This is all connected to our financial life. And what is scary is ahead, it appears, and this is already happening in China, and this has a lot to do with what is in this bill that people aren't looking at and should be really looking at and being afraid, is that they will be, the government's going to take over more and more control and be at a place where they can say to the bank, hold back these people's money because they went over their carbon allowance for this month. I mean, this is all crazy stuff, but they are talking about it openly in the World Economic Forum and the EU as if it's already happening there. It could happen here. And at that point, you know, you need to really make sure that your money is not easily disappeared by the government under their new radical rules.
Absolutely. We've had a couple of cases where we've done transactions with people, and that involves us sending an invoice, and then the client then goes to the bank and initiates a wire transfer. Right. And they've actually said, no, we cannot do this. So then the person calls us back, the new client calls us back and said, I went to the bank to wire you funds, and they said no. You go, what do you mean you said no? You weren't going there to say, can I wire funds? You were going there to wire funds.
Right.
And they said, no, they can't do it, because I told them what I was buying, and they said, you cannot. I go back there, today,
right,
and insist on it. And if they don't do it, ask for a manager, and right, you will get it done. Tell them you're not going to leave until they complete the wire.
Right.
And he did. And the last one did it, and it went through. But they've become so powerful. And
yeah,
they have.
So I think people need to understand that it's not much more complicated than they're just saying, we make money when your money's here, so you can't have your money back.
Right.
You know?
Very well said. It's true.
It's scary.
And another thing, like, if you think about how long has it been where the banks do this form when you do a transaction over $10,000, for my whole adult life, for sure,
right,
probably longer. And the way that back then, if we just take that back to the 80s, back then, $1 million was a lot of money. Right. Today, generally speaking, it's not. So why would it still be 10,000? It should have been moved up to like 50,000.
Right.
But recording transactions for that are a way of how they can control. Now, they never look at our transactions for people that buy gold and silver. What they're looking for when people do things like $9,900 deposit or
right,
a $9,800 deposit, they have like algorithms that can spot like abnormalities. But I feel like that should have been adjusted a long time ago, and that the reason why it's not been adjusted is because it's more control, more ways to watch what we're doing.
I mean, the stuff with the IRS and claiming that that's to catch cheats and starting at $600. I mean, that's everyone from the single mother to, you know, somebody that works at a hotel, groceries. Like these are transactions of the working class, the middle class that they are going after. It's not the elite. And that's what people have to understand, that this power grab, this total control. I mean, they basically for now 19 months suspended our Bill of Rights. What makes anyone think that that we're safe? And also, don't forget, a lot of the one six false flag and the arrests after that, the banks were handing over transactions, Bank of America specifically, anyone that used an ATM near the near Congress that day, they turned over their documentation of who was on in that area using their ATM cards. So, I mean, this is a real big deal. It's even beyond being scared about your money. It's being scared about it being unconstitutionally taken and monitored.
Exactly. It's that just, you know, listening to that just makes me think, wow, people need to buy non-reportable gold and silver. And before transactions $600 or more end up being reported. Right. And I remember when Obama was president, and we talked about this on the last show, when they initially did pass this and then it got killed right after being passed.
Right.
This is gonna really hurt small business. Like, there's small businesses where the price point is over $600, and they'll have to hire an extra person or persons to handle that, and that might be the final blow to them throwing in the towel.
Yeah. That's another thing, is that a lot of this new legislation being put in by this installed regime is a lot of it is an attack on small business, middle class. And then they've also added in their whole equity thing, where it's like, it's not even judged on your merits or your business plan. If you can get, they're not giving out money as it is for small businesses, but the ones that are getting it, it's not being judged on the most viable business plan and the best opportunity in the right location and all the stuff that in traditionally small business loans and all that have been, prioritized. And another thing that we've been talking about, you and I were involved in some things lately. And
That was fun. It was great to see.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
If people don't know, we were in
Tulsa,
Oklahoma, where a bunch of us creators and
Patriots
got together.
People who are finding solutions to get our economy going in a different direction from our own backyards. And that's the other thing that I've really been thinking a lot about is, you know, we were all together coming up with ideas and plans and figuring out how to have a forward motion in our small businesses and our local communities. And one of the ways is to start finding an alternative to the Small Business Administration, groups of people that are willing to come together and finance small businesses to rebuild our local communities. And that another thing in that realm is too small banks and other alternative platforms that are more prone to the values and the Constitution and the other things that we as Americans expect of our government and our banking institutions. So that's another thing that I think people need to realize is that there's a lot of patriots out there like you, like me, but also in big business. Not everyone in corporate America is in on this, you know, and I think it's really important to start bringing your business to people that are aligned with your values.
I think that's an excellent point. You know that community banks in general, initially were where people in the community put money, and then the bank would lend it out in the community to build the community.
Right.
That's what banks did in the beginning of our country.
Right. And going back to that model, and also that's why the silver and gold thing is really good for people, because you're not able to get those big loans right now to start a small business, but the country is desperately in need of small business and entrepreneurs. And a good way to do that is to get your money out, put it in gold and silver, let that grow and reinvest it back into your own community and your own business. And I think that that's also a reason to get out of the banks, diversify and protect your wealth, but also grow it and reinvest it.
Oh, I love it. Sounds great. And I loved being out there and meeting you guys, and no masks anywhere. So it was a breath of fresh air compared to California.
Yeah. Hello, New York. And also, you know what? It was interesting in Tulsa that I noticed. We were through 10 states in 5 weeks and we drove. One thing I did also notice was when we were little, there was you'd pass a car dealership and there's thousands of Fords and Chevys and every car. All over America, there's like five cars in lots of big car manufacturers. And then the rental cars are so expensive. People must be seeing this, but it's all connected. It's all leading you to the place of This is a lot bigger of a danger zone than we think. Were you seeing that when you were out in other areas of the, even in LA and California, but yeah. In Tulsa, I was shocked. It was like, there was no inventory at any of the car dealerships.
And we have it here too.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I bought a new Range Rover. I've had like four of them in a row and bought a new one and I use it for work.
Right.
And they only had a handful of them there. And it's like literally like when you go, there could be nothing there one day and then like four or five there. Right. We were at a Porsche dealership last weekend, just killing some time before dinner. And we looked, they had like three brand new Porsches. And if you wanted to buy one, like the main model, the 911, right. You order it and you get it in April. And I talked to the sales guy.
Okay. Tesla.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Tesla. And I hear there's Range Rovers sitting in the ports without a right. chip for the computer. So they're just sitting there. And now the 2022 model is going to come out. And those are 2021s. And right. like we're really seeing a big mess.
Yeah.
But I did notice that when we were out there. And but I especially loved how people were not wearing the mask and not everybody there seemed sick. And it was and never before have I seen a llama and a taco in the same place.
So oh, I know. That was really impressive. And when we were going there, we were like, wow, where are we going? This is America. Like, this is like the third time we were driving somewhere. We were like, where does this end? Where are we going? And then it was just, no, it was so great. But that's the good thing about you and a couple of the other people that we've connected with in this journey is we're all looking for solutions for people like us, people that are hardworking, middle class, you know, just want to take care of our families, live our lives, you know, have our children have good upbringings, good lives. And there's a lot to be nervous about right now. And I love having you on because you give a real source sense of calm. I know that I get great feedback from the time you take to help people, but it's getting to a point where we're being attacked as American citizens citizens of this planet from all sides. And a lot of the roads lead to the central banks and to the inflation. And now they're talking about it. All this stuff nobody even understands, hedging and this and that. And then they're threatening the Fed and the Fed's threatening the Treasury. And we're all sitting here waiting for a shoe to drop. And we don't have to do that.
I think that this weekend was about personal and, you know, financial business sovereignty,
right.
creative sovereignty. What we're trying to do is help people find those tools, right, to be more sovereign, because to depend on these tyrannical, you know, overlords is clearly they're not looking out for us. They are not your parents. They're not your friends.
Right.
So I think a lot of the things that we talk about are really, and these data points, looking at all these data points, which is something that Mel does exceptionally well, is saying that, well, all of these things point in a certain direction. So we need to take that with some great, you know, we need to think about that.
Yeah. And I think also really thinking about who you are doing business with has to take precedence now too. Like we were talking about defund the cabal, refund the kingdom. And that's a really good way to think of it. Thinking about, you know, we found out yesterday that Nancy Pelosi, I guess, is worth her millions skyrocketed over the last 18 months. And here she's the one that's threatening everyone to the IRS, you know, the IRS Gestapo is going to be coming into our homes, basically, through our computers. And we need to keep an eye on that. The people that are running this country and running the financial system are doing incredibly well. And it is a destruction on the middle class. And we can't last that much longer. I don't know where these people are getting money that are not working, but they're getting it somewhere, but it's not going to last long, I don't think. So thank you so much. And also one last thing, I did have somebody ask me, they were worried about their 401k disappearing. And now when you deal with the 401ks and rolling those over, do the companies give you a hard time, or is it, you know, are they trying not to let that happen? Because I know you can do it, but my friend was saying that she think like that they were giving her a hard time.
Oh, yeah, sometimes they do. There's 401ks can most of the time be rolled over into a precious metals IRA.
Right.
If you no longer work at the firm that the 401k originated at, you can always transfer it over. It's a called a rollover, actually. But if you still work there, you still might be able to roll it over a portion of it. You would just go into your human resources department and speak with that person and say, hey, I would like to invest a portion of my retirement account elsewhere. Will you allow me to roll over a portion of it into, like, say, a precious metals IRA? And they'll tell you. It's usually a smaller percentage, but most of the time you cannot do that, though.
Right.
But just at least ask and find out.
Right. Because a lot of people are scared. You know, we know that a lot of the, at least overseas, especially, it's going to hit the EU really hard. A lot of their pensions are gone. And now they're talking about they're going to raise Social Security. But at the same time, they're saying in 12 years, there'll be no Social Security. So why? It makes no sense. So yeah. That's why I just think the best thing people can do right now is to protect what they do have now. And again, Andrew, there's ways to work with every amount of money, correct? Because people think, oh, gold, silver, I need to. Even when we were in Tulsa, somebody said to you, well, I don't have that much. And you explain, like, you can do it in steps. It's not, you're not just tomorrow going to acquire all of your money is now going to be in gold.
Yeah, that's the best part of having like a consultation with myself or one of the other people here. Just have a little chat with us. We'll ask you some questions based on what it is that you're trying to accomplish, and we'll come up with a game plan for you.
Yeah.
But there is something for everybody. There's no one that we just say, you know, it'll work for everybody else, but I'm sorry, it's not going to work for you. It'll work for everyone.
Right. You've made it work for all different kinds of people and all different age brackets and all different financial backgrounds. And I've seen it happening, and you've done an amazing job for so many people. And I truly appreciate that. But it's really because you're doing it for all the good reasons of helping people protect themselves in this volatile market. And I really appreciate every time you come. And on my website, themelkayshow.com, we have a form that people can fill out and be a little more specific about what they need and questions that they have for you. And also tell people where they can find you. It'll be in the description, but I like when you say it.
Oh, yeah. You can go on our website at bh-pm.com. And I'll repeat it. It's bh-pm.com. And there is another form on there that you can fill out, an inquiry form. If we're not calling you fast enough, we'll get to you. But just be persistent and fill out the form on Mel Kay's website. And if we don't get back with you right away, fill out the form on our website or just call.
Right.
At 866-346-5325. It's 866-346-5325. And me or one of my associates will get back with you.
Right. And I noticed that a lot of people want to just talk to you. So he is very busy. So I know people think he's cute and he's nice and he wants to talk to you, but he's a very busy guy and he does an exceptional job of really helping out my people and my supporters because I love them and they're really good to me. And I know that they trust you. Rob, anything else to round out the...
No, I just wanted to make, you know, all of that information will be in the descriptions. They're in all of our video descriptions.
Yep.
Our website, which keeps evolving, you know, hopefully getting a little bit better each iteration. But if you go to our partners page, and you can see all partners, and we have a form there too for Andrew and his company, Beverly Hills Precious Metals. All that information is there. And they are really busy, and sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get back to them. But you know, this is a longer term strategy, like you were saying. It's a wealth strategy. It's a diversification strategy, and it starts with getting a little information and a knowledge and a comfort base. And so you're going to learn something no matter what.
Right.
And then you're going to have a strategy going forward that works for you.
Right. And it's working for us. And a lot of my family members, I know even Rob's family members are like, we need to talk to Andrew. when 3 months ago, they're like, what? Now everyone's like, can you hook us up with Andrew?
And I'm like, I apologize for all the texts. Every time I'm out, someone says, hey, can you introduce me to your guy? And it's like Saturday night.
Our guy.
I love it though.
Well, we've developed a really good friendship, and we will see you again, I'm sure. And hopefully we've helped a lot of people, and you will continue to. And I really appreciate everything you've done for us and for everyone out there. And we will see you next time.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks so much.